And don't forget, you may choose the sin, but only God can choose the consequence. And sometimes the consequence is rough.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear from Pastor Brian Grant, another in his series of messages taken from the life of the prophet Elijah. And tonight's message is about an encounter between King Ahab, a most wicked and selfish king, and one of his subjects by the name of Naboth. Now, Naboth had the bad fortune of owning something by right of inheritance that King Ahab wanted for himself. But Naboth stood in the way. Nevertheless, God was watching all that went on. But let's hear Pastor Grant tell the story. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message entitled, Guard Your Inheritance. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Clyde's mom had already died, and his dad was so sick, it was sure that he was going to die. They felt pretty sure he would die in a week or two. Now, Clyde's dad was very rich. He was worth well over $50 million. So in just a week or so, Clyde was going to become a multimillionaire. Well, Clyde figured he was going to have so much money, he figured he would enjoy it much more if he had a wife. So one evening when he was in his favorite cafe, he saw a young lady who was just spectacularly beautiful. He was just captivated by her beauty. And so Clyde went up to her and he said, "You know, right now I'm just an ordinary man, but in a week I'm going to be a $50 million man." He said, "My dad is going to die. I'm going to inherit $50 million. Oh, she was so excited. She accepted his invitation to go home with him that evening. But the next day, Clyde got the shock of his life. The lady he took home became his stepmother. Clyde had not protected his inheritance. I want to speak to you this morning on the theme, Guard Your Inheritance. Guard your inheritance. I'm not going to talk about a financial inheritance. Clyde messed up and he lost out on his. But I want to make sure this morning we learn to guard the best inheritance we have. This is the fourth message in a five-message series that I've been going through on the life of Elijah the prophet. And if you're listening to us this morning, this is the first in the series you're getting. We encourage you to visit our YouTube channel so you can get all the other messages that you missed. But you know, this story in 1 Kings chapter 21, which was read for us, listen, it is a perfect story for a Hollywood blockbuster movie because it has all the ingredients. You know, it's a story of deceit. It's a story of love, of treachery, of murder, of violence, gore, whatever you want. It's in this story that could really make a blockbuster movie. In scene one of our movie, King Ahab, king of Israel at the time, he wanted to expand the land surrounding his palace in Jezreel. And the best property that was available, the most ideal property, was one owned by a gentleman by the name of Naboth, who owned a vineyard. So he went to Naboth and offered to either give him a much better vineyard or to pay cash for Naboth's vineyard. But although Ahab's offer was very reasonable, Naboth refused the offer. Somehow it threw the king into a tailspin, and Ahab started behaving like a little baby. He went to his other palace in Samaria and pouting and sulking like a little child and went straight to bed. When his evil wife Jezebel realized that something was wrong with her husband, she went in to see him and she said, "Honey, what's wrong?" He said, "Is that man Naboth? I offered to exchange the vineyard. I offered him a much better vineyard, but he refused my offer." She said, "Honey, don't bother. I'll take care of it. You just relax. I'll take care of it." And the wicked Jezebel, I tell you guys, you better watch out if you meet anybody named Jezebel. But this wicked Jezebel, what did she do? She devised a plot, and so she wrote letters to the leaders of the city of Jezreel, where Naboth lived. She sent them letters, and in the letters she said, listen, I want you to hire some scoundrels, some professional liars, some folks who their job is to give false testimony, some scoundrels. She said, hire some guys who will claim that they heard Naboth blaspheme God and blaspheme the king. So that's exactly what they did. They got these scoundrels and the leaders of the city. They charged Naboth with blaspheming God. He was brought to trial. And of course, these men gave false testimony. What a story. They gave false testimony, and Naboth was found guilty of all the crimes. He was taken outside the city, and he was stoned to death. That must be some scene to see Naboth being stoned to death. But once Naboth was dead and Jezebel got word, she didn't even blink an eye at it. Didn't even bother her, the brutality and the murder that she had just carried out. She quickly told Ahab, honey, don't worry, the vineyard is now available. Ahab was such a weak man. He didn't even think and ask, so how did it happen? He just left and he went to his new vineyard and he was having a good old time. Listen, there's a whole lot more, but let's pause right there before we go on to the next scene of the movie. I need to pause right there because I want to share with you first, lesson number one. This morning I want to share with you three lessons from this text in 1 Kings chapter 21. And the first lesson that we can learn from this, put this down. I hope you're taking notes. You're at home. You have paper. You have pen. So grab it. And if you miss it right now, I'll bring it back to your attention again. But right first point here, lesson number one, we must learn to treasure our spiritual inheritance. I must learn to treasure my spiritual inheritance as I personalize it. Have you ever wondered why Naboth refused to sell the vineyard? You know, sometimes if we take a cursory glance at this text, we may assume that Naboth didn't want to sell the vineyard for the location. After all, he was right next to the king's palace. What a great location. This must have been a premium priced property. But it wasn't because of its location. It wasn't because the vineyard had vines that was producing good wine. It wasn't because he was trying to hold out for a better price. The reason Naboth refused to sell, it's because this was ancestral property. This was an inheritance God had given to his forefathers. I don't want you to miss that because this is the important point of this whole story. This is property and inheritance God had given his forefathers. And Numbers chapter 36 verse 7 says this, every Israelite shall keep the tribal inheritance of their ancestors. If Naboth had sold this vineyard, he would have been disobeying God because this was an inheritance that God himself had given his forefathers and had told them to guard your inheritance. Naboth had a physical inheritance from God, but those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have a much better inheritance. Amen? Amen. Naboth's was physical, but ours is spiritual. And in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What an amazing verse. We have been blessed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, we have been blessed. Listen, my brother and sister in Christ, not with some spiritual blessings, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are rich. The moment we got saved, listen, the moment we got saved, he endued us with eternal life. That very moment, he put the Holy Spirit of God lives in, put in us. So God, by his Spirit, lives in us. Think of the what that means for my daily life. Listen, I'm an heir of God. The Bible says I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm an equal heir with Jesus Christ. I'm a member of the aristocracy of heaven. Listen, we are spiritually rich. We have a great spiritual inheritance. And just as Naboth guarded his physical inheritance, it is very important that we guard our spiritual inheritance. Now, friend, I want to ask you, do you treasure your spiritual inheritance? Do you regard it as the most important thing in your life? You know, I believe that one of the reasons that could be, this is just my assumption, because I can't tell you I know the mind of God in detail, but I'm wondering if part of the reason why God has allowed this, if it's not to challenge those of us who are Christians to come to fully appreciate our inheritance in Christ. Because if we are not careful, as believers in Jesus, we have not been guarding our inheritance. We are allowing the world to press us into its mold, and we are forgetting who we are and what we have in Christ. And today God wants to remind us of the incredibly rich inheritance we have in him. You know, as king, Ahab was able to know that Naboth's vineyard was ancestral property, and that if Naboth sold it, he would have been disobeying God. So when he offered Naboth a better vineyard, stay with me now. When he offered Naboth a better vineyard, he was telling Naboth, listen, if you disobey God, I will give you something better. Oh, I hope you heard me. He says, I will give you a better vineyard. He says, if you disobey God, I will give you something better.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Satan is still telling us the same thing. He hasn't changed his strategy. He's still urging Christians to disobey God, and he's still promising us he'll give us something better. Listen, the reason we are so tempted to sin is because somehow the devil makes us feel that if we do what he's urging us to do, we will get something better. My friend, be very careful. When you find that you get that supposedly better job, but it's a job that doesn't allow you to come to worship anymore, be very careful that you check, is this from God, or is this the devil offering you something better? You see, when the devil offers you something better, on the surface, it may seem to be better, but it ain't better at all. When you feel that the Lord is blessing you with this new house, but in order to pay the mortgage, you've got to cut back on your giving to God, you better check again, because this time, can I be honest with you? You don't even have to check. I can tell you right now, it's not coming from God. It's the devil offering you something better that it seems to be better. What could beat this wonderful home? And young ladies, when you're tempted by that guy, oh, he looks so fine. He's so cute. He's so funny. He has such a great sense of humor. And he got a J-O-B. What? Oh, he meets all the requirements, but he ain't saved. My friend, young lady, watch out. That ain't coming from God. That's the devil offering you something better, but he's got an agenda. You know, when I was in college, there was a girl that every time we had a small group, she was in my small group. And I just found that interesting. And, you know, to be honest, I just assumed she was in my small group all the while to try and benefit from my math and accounting answers. Because if I may say myself, those were two subjects that I was pretty good at when I was in college. But after a while, you know, she was a beautiful young lady. And so I knew, I just assumed it had to be to get the answers that I was going to share. But after a while, I found out that she actually liked me. Can you imagine what it did to my ego? This beautiful young lady actually liked me. Wow. Well, I shared the fact that I was tempted to pursue a relationship with her, with one of my Christian friends. And the young lady said to me, she said, it's okay. She said, go right ahead, because God could use you to get her saved. Well, you know, somehow it was so ingrained in me, this whole issue of not being unequally yoked with an unbeliever, that I decided I would not pursue that line of action. And I'm so glad I did. You see, listen, unknown to me, the young lady, the Christian who was giving me this advice, she was dating an unsaved young man under the cover. And it didn't take long before she finally totally walked away from God. She totally walked away from God. She was not guarding her spiritual inheritance. And I want to ask you, my friend, as you're listening to me all over the world, I want to ask you, are you guarding your spiritual inheritance? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the apostle warns us to be alert and be vigilant. It says, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan, listen, young person who is listening to me this morning, I hope you're paying real good attention, because he's particularly seeking after you. He's prowling around and he's trying to destroy your spiritual inheritance. And this morning, God is saying to you, guard of your inheritance. George Barna, one of the great research companies in terms of Christian, what's happening in the Christian world, just last year they published a report that indicates that in recent years, listen to me good, 64% of young adults ages 18 to 29, young people who grew up in church and were active in church, 64% of them walked away from church. 64% of folks in the 18 to 29. Listen, your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And this is why it is so important, my friend, that you learn to treasure your spiritual inheritance. Don't trivialize it. What you have and what I have in Christ is special. Part of the problem, I believe, is because sometimes if we're not careful, we come to Christ primarily for fire insurance. Well, I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes we come to Christ primarily because we don't want to go to hell. But if we follow Jesus only for fire insurance, we are big losers. I want to speak to that person, because there's some of you listening to me this morning and you're Christians, but you have not really fully committed. You're just so happy you won't go to hell, but you will go to heaven. My friend, if that's the extent of your Christian life, you are really missing out. Because when God saved us, he had big plans for us. God's plan was to help us achieve the purpose for which he made us. My friend, what could be better than actually living out the purpose for which God put you here? And you'll never find that out unless you're totally committed to him. You know, I've taken many people to the Dead Sea. I've taken them to Israel. And while we're in Israel, I always make sure we stop at the Dead Sea on both of the trips that we did. And I tell you, it's sometimes so interesting to come back and listen to individuals tell the story about what the Dead Sea is like. People who never even put a toe in the Dead Sea. I find it fascinating. All these folks who've never even put their toe in, but you would think that they really experienced it. The reality is, those who didn't put a toe in, they saw the Dead Sea, and they can claim to have experienced it vicariously. In other words, through us who are telling them the story. But nobody understands. You cannot experience the thrill of the Dead Sea unless you fully commit to the Dead Sea and you go into the Dead Sea only to find that it's impossible to sink. That immediately as you sit, go into the sea, it flips you on your back. And suddenly you are lying down in the Dead Sea. You could actually lie down and read a book lying in the Dead Sea without having to fear drowning, because you are not going to go down. And the only way to know that for sure is to actually go in the Dead Sea. Listen, I just want to tell you, my friend, it is hard for me to explain the amazing fulfillment you experience when you're living out God's purpose for your life. You cannot understand the full experience of being in the Dead Sea unless you go in yourself. You can read about it all you want, and my friend, you will never fully understand and come to fully appreciate the inheritance, the spiritual inheritance you have in Christ, until you fully commit to Jesus and you go into the deep with him. And this morning, God is challenging you to come into the deep with him. The planet Mercury is hot, but Pluto is cold. You know why? The reason Mercury is hot is because it's very close to the sun. And the reason Pluto is cold is because it's far from the sun. The temperature of a planet is based on how close that planet is to the sun. And I'm going to suggest to you, my friend, the spiritual temperature of a Christian is based on how close they are to the sun. But not the S-U-N, the S-O-N. Our spiritual temperature is based on how close we are to Jesus. You may say, I wish I were closer to the Lord. Oh, people tell me that all the while. I wish I were closer to the Lord. But my friend, do you realize you're as close to the Lord as you want to be? Let that sink in. Because you might be one of those who have said that, I wish I were closer to the Lord. Do you realize you are as close to the Lord as you really want to be? Because we all know if you're really going to get close to anyone, you have to make sacrifices so that you can commit yourself fully to that person. There are sacrifices involved if you're really going to get close to somebody. Let me ask you, what sacrifice do you need to make to get closer to Jesus? What sacrifice, let me repeat that, what sacrifice do you need to make? Because sometimes, even as you're listening this morning, you may realize there's some stuff in your life that is preventing you, is restricting you from being close to Jesus. What sacrifices are you willing to make to get closer to him? I pray that today you'll start on the road of getting close to Jesus, because until we get close to Jesus, we'll never learn to truly treasure our spiritual inheritance. So what was lesson one? Lesson one, learn to treasure your spiritual inheritance. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would certainly be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.